From the WLRN Miami Herald studios, I'm Tim Padgett with the Latin America Report, made possible by Espirito Santo Bank. Last year at about this time, Jamaica observed its 50th anniversary of independence. But the well-deserved jubilation was dampened by the island's frighteningly high murder and violent crime rates. The situation was so bad that drug lords like Christopher Dudas Koch were the de facto rulers of large swaths of cities like the capital, Kingston. A year later, Jamaica may finally be pulling out of its insecurity tailspin. Its homicide rate is dropping. The professionalism of its police and judicial systems seems to be rising. That's good news, not just for Jamaica and the 2 million tourists who visit Jamaica each year. It could also have a positive ripple effect throughout the violence-plagued Caribbean, the strategic crossroads of the Americas. Joining me to discuss this important development is David Rowe, one of the most respected Jamaican legal scholars and an adjunct law professor at the University of Miami. Thanks for being with us, David.
It's a privilege, Mr. Padgett.
Jamaica's murder rate has dropped from more than 60 per 100,000 residents a few years ago to fewer than 40 today. What is Jamaica suddenly doing right?
Jamaica is a recipient of significant aid from the United States with respect to the Caribbean Basin Security Initiative and other areas of cooperation, which have provided protocol, policy guidance, and equipment to the Jamaican police. The current United States Ambassador to Jamaica, Pamela Bridgewater, has made anti-corruption one of her key areas of bilateral focus. So I think Jamaica has responded to both significant aid and to the focus of anti-corruption.
We've seen so many Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Mexico, try to militarize the war on violent crime. Jamaica's focus, on the other hand, seems to be reforming its police and justice systems.
Well, that is critical because the murder rate in Jamaica still is out of control. In order for foreign investors to develop the confidence required to make significant contributions to Jamaica's development, they must feel that they are not in fear of their lives.
The turning point for Jamaica was no doubt 2010, when 70 people were killed in Kingston during the eventually successful effort to extradite Dudas Koch to the U.S.
Unfortunately, the government of Jamaica at that time, which was defeated, the JLP government, had developed a relationship with Dudas Koch, which was a quasi-connection between government and criminal overlord. With Koch's absence, the specter of organized crime does not play the dominant role that it did play in Kingston.
Tourism and Jamaica's unique cultural branding are critical to its economy. How badly did the violent crime affect it?
It hurt Jamaica's tourism because obviously people who are coming to stay for a short time in an idyllic environment, they look at the crime and they think differently. They think that they wish to remain where they are, and we're just recovering from that catharsis right now. However, I still think we need a combination of prioritizing law enforcement and job creation for younger, especially younger men.
Can the crime-fighting improvements we're seeing be sustained if Jamaica and the Caribbean don't become more than low-wage tourism economies?
The current formula, which permits a few people to earn most of the tourism revenues in all-inclusive hotels, may have to be abandoned.
Thanks, David. You can read more of our Latin America and Caribbean coverage on WLRN.org. For WLRN Miami Herald News, I'm Tim Padgett.
The Latin America Report is made possible by Espirito Santo Bank.